Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. And look at me kind of being on time. I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm trying to get through these episodes. I don't have time. But being that I'm getting these episodes out, nothing's happened. Oh, let me turn off the fan because there's so much feedback. Poor me. Okay. Anywho, now why did I pick Eleanor of Aquitaine? And I feel like not a lot of people know her. I mean, if you're a history kind of buff, then you know her. But most people don't know Eleanor of Aquitaine. And I picked her because, okay, you guys are going to think I'm a dork. But I was going to do King Henry VIII again. And I'm going to tell you why. So in my first season, I did like King Henry VIII and his wives. And it was just about his wives, really, and his relationship with them. But I didn't go into like depth about him. But I only did that because I was watching The Tudors or whatever for like the millionth time. I've seen The Tudors for like, I don't know how many times I've seen it. Anyway, and I was like, this dude sucks. I'm going to do him, like just him. And I was like, you know what? I can't keep doing that. I have such a love-hate relationship with that man. He doesn't even know me. I mean, of course he doesn't because he's dead, but you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like when, like people who love Nicki Minaj. And I love Nicki Minaj. I really do. But I'm not like a Nicki stan. Oh my God. Especially with like her whole husband situation. You know, he's a rapist or whatever. Oh my God. Anyway, so people who are like a Nicki stan. Like, yeah, Nicki doesn't know you. But you're going to die for Nicki. Okay. That's kind of like how I feel about Beyonce. Don't say anything bad about Beyonce around me. Because I'm going to have to wreck. Like, for real. Anywho. I'm doing Eleanor because I know she's related to King Henry VIII at some point. And I was like, I haven't done any, like, tough queens before. So I'm going to do one. So here we go. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. With Lady Billy Day. Whoever is out there that does those nice little musical interludes or whatever with other people's podcasts, can you hit me up? Because I would like my own personalized little intro and outro music. I don't want to use like the, you know, the generic one I have to use. I want a little like, you know, inspired beatbox or something. Like that. Oh God. Okay, let me pause now so I can insert the sponsor thing. Because my sister said, she was listening to my episode, she was like, girl, why do you just pop the sponsor out of there with no, like, intro? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, just stop putting it in there because nobody's prepared for it. And I was like, all right. Here's the sponsor. And we're back. So, I pick Eleanor, like I said, because she's a pretty tough lady. She was a pioneer for female rulers. And before I get into Eleanor in her life, let me talk a little bit about women and their lifestyles and how things were for them in the 12th century. And for those of us who can't do math like that, which it's not really math. Anyway, the 12th century is 1100 to 1199. Ugh. So during this time, this is the High Middle Ages. Oh my goodness. Let me say this right now before I forget. Okay. And I'm such an idiot because I promised myself that if I was ever going to do somebody in the High Middle Ages, I was going to interview my old professor. And she was so down for me to interview her. Oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I should pull the plug on this episode right now. You know, there's tons of other people in the High Middle Ages I can talk about. Okay, back to it. So I had this professor back in undergrad, and the class was like something Middle Ages or something like that. And this was the first class that I had taken in my religious studies minor. And I had to do like one class that like covered Europe or whatever. So this is where I had first learned about Eleanor of Aquitaine. And the class was very, very content heavy. Like, if you missed one class, no. Like, you were not passing any quiz or exam. You needed to be at every class, or you need to have a buddy in the class to take notes for you. Something like that. And it wasn't like how most, so University of Maryland is a huge campus. So the way that they did it was, if you had a Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, Monday and Wednesday were lecture halls, like hundreds of people, lecture halls. And then Friday, you had a really small class with like the professor's assistant. But this class, none of that. It was only like 15 of us in the class. We had like, there was no way you could miss, like lecture you could miss. Like you could pass the whole class and never show up to a Monday and Wednesday class for the most part. Unless the teacher was a jerk. Anyway, so I take this class and I'm just taking like these little lackadaisical notes. Like when she says something that excites her, I'm gonna write it down because that's what you do. And I go and I take the first class. And I'm like, I know history. I'm dope. Bruh. I failed it. I think I got a freaking F. And I got the freaking quiz back. And I was like, am I a freaking idiot? Like, what's wrong with me? So I set up some time. And I go in her office. And I was like, girl, look. I failed the mess out of this exam. And she was like, well, how do you take your notes? And I was like, look. And she was like, these aren't good enough. And I was like, no. So every time I came to class, if I didn't write like at least 2 to 3 pages minimum of notes, it wasn't good enough. But anyway, I ended up taking my final and I passed it with an A, and then I ended up and finishing the class off with like a B or something. I don't know. And I also had to write like this massive paper on Anna Karenina. Maybe I'll do a podcast episode about her or something. I don't know. And I waited till last minute to do it. And it was due that morning at like 10 a.m. And I think it was a minimum of like 15 pages. I wrote 15 pages in like maybe 4 hours. So I had woke up at like 12 a.m. and I was like, bah. And I wrote the paper and I turned it in right before 10 a.m. And you might be thinking to yourself, like, girl, why did you not plan effectively for this? I was going through it. I was really going through it. And if you want to know why I was going through it, go listen to my other podcast, Shameless Plug, Who is Lady Billy Day? About why I was going through it. Anyway, moral of the story is all that hard work ended up fostering my love for the high middle ages. Back to what we were talking about, which I think was how women were living in the... Yeah. So during the high middle ages, women were seen as a source of evil. And that was mainly because some dude rationalized that since Eve gave Adam the fruit that brought on sin, women were like these evil monsters. Women would end up not having the same status as men, and women eventually start to lose the smallest privileges they already had. They already don't have a lot of rights, and if they did not belong to their father, they would belong to whoever was the lord of the land they lived on if they were a serf. And after that, then their husband would take ownership, quote unquote, of them, for lack of a better word. Even priests were not interested in literate nuns. And I'm trying to understand, how can you be a nun if you don't know or you can't read the word of God? But that's just me. But, you know, this is the 12th century. And if, you know, you question the church, you'll probably burn. So I'm going to just shut up. But anywho, women who did end up like working, like a store, they ended up being paid less than men, which is the same in 2021. But whatever. Since women were paid less than men, businesses would hire them over men because you could pay them less for doing the same amount of work. This pissed men off, and then women were kicked out of workers' guilds, and then they eventually were just kicked out of work altogether. This pushed more women to go into nunneries. And at the time, it was like, if you ain't get married, you suck, someone hates you, you're going straight to a nunnery. So women just started heading over there. However, noble women were allowed to manage their husband's business in the event he had to travel or go to work or, you know, die in a crusade or something like that, you know. The 12th century also saw the church rule rape as a crime. Oh my God. Excuse me, rape. Thank you. During this time, women had to learn to adapt as necessary to overcome their status, and Eleanor is a great example of that. However, women still had a long way to go, a very, very long way. But now, with all that in mind, let's learn a little bit more about Eleanor. Eleanor of Aquitaine was born in 1122, and she's known most popularly for being the mother of Richard the Lionheart and John of England, which, if you are familiar with Robin Hood, and in my case, the Disney adaptation of Robin Hood, then you are very familiar with Prince John and King Richard. When she was very young, her father died very young. However, he was the Duke of Aquitaine, which is located in the southwest of France. And this was one of the larger cities at the time, one of the richer cities. He had more money and held more land than the king at that time. Her father dies in 1137, and she's sent to marry the new king, who is Louis VI. So, not only is Eleanor extremely wealthy, but she's also very beautiful. And Louis VI also treated her very well, which is, in my opinion, uncommon for the time. Not saying that men were, like, equal to their wives or anything, but, like, being that they were kind of deemed as evil at this time, it's like, well, anyway. Contrary to the time, Eleanor had came with her husband on the Second Crusade. And for those who don't know what the... Thank you, dog. And for those who don't know what the Second Crusade is, or the Crusades in general, the Crusades were a battle of the Holy Land between Christian and Muslim forces. Eleanor would even provide forces from Aquitaine to assist in this war. But everything wasn't peaches and roses. Because Eleanor would disagree with her husband on a number of things in this war. Louis was pressed to go fight in the crusade to be on the Pope's good side, but Eleanor was very cautious and wasn't interested in immediately entering Jerusalem, which caused a huge rift in their marriage because she didn't side with him. She ended up siding with her father's dead. She ended up siding with her uncle, Raymond, who did not agree with Louis at all. Many had rumors that she and her uncle were together sexually. The rumors had no basis and they didn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, slander, gossip, if you will. So Louis demanded that Eleanor join Team Louis. Oh my God, you know what this reminds me of? Oh my, why do I always do this? Like, I stop in the middle of a really good point in my notes because I think of something else. You remember in our, like, One Direction days? If you were like a One Directioner and it was like Team Louis, Team Harry, Team Zayn, Team Liam. Like that, that's what I thought of when I was saying that. You don't know you're beautiful. Come back. If only you saw what I can see. Oh God. One Direction. Anyway. Louis demanded that she join him, which pissed her off even more. And keep in mind that she does not need him at all. She even showed up to this war on a horse, riding it by herself. She had some women backing her up, and the women had knives and stuff. Like, she was doing her own thing. So she's upset. She decides to just annul their marriage on the grounds of consanguinity. And if you don't know what consanguinity is, it's basically where divorce is granted because people are too closely related. And sometimes this is done in good faith, but usually it isn't. And you're probably thinking to yourself, wow, in the Middle Ages, everybody's married to, I mean, not married. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, everyone in the Middle Ages is related to each other. And you're right. Yeah, you're right. But sometimes the Pope had come up with this thing where it said if you were related to whoever you were married to, like seven people back or something like that, you could divorce each other because at that point it's like incest or something. And a lot of people were like, yep, I don't want to be married to you anymore. And technically you're my cousin. So yeet. And that's what she did. And it ended up working out for her. Thank you, Boots. So the marriage was annulled in 1152. At this time, Eleanor is 30 years old. She's still very young, and she's young enough to remarry, and that is exactly what she does. So eventually she marries Henry of Anjou. And Henry of Anjou eventually becomes Henry II of England. So she becomes queen yet again, but now she's queen of England. Now her money plus his money is crazy power, like Jay-Z and Beyonce type of marriage. Like, they have money. They eventually have 8 children together. She's named the grandmother of Europe because of, you know, all these kids. Jesus, she had 10 children at this point. 2 with her first husband and 8 with the second one. Like, she's popping out babies. And just looking into the future, all of her children, you know, they go on to marry other royalty, blah, blah, blah. But all of her children, their roles are key players in Europe at this time. And I'll touch on this a little bit later. Eleanor heavily resents her husband because he was always cheating with somebody. They often fought. They were arguing. It was a hot mess. So she just leaves him. And she goes back to her own land in France. Because keep in mind, she has all this money. She has all this land. So she just dips off. Now, keep in mind, this is not common in the 12th century because most women had nowhere to go to if their husband was acting up. She was briefly imprisoned for her role in her plot to overthrow Henry. Richard, who's her son, comes to Eleanor in France for support. And Eleanor is totally game because right now her husband is not on her good side. And she even tries to have his mistress murdered, which I don't know. You know what? Let me not say anything because I'm going to sound like somebody who's on investigation discovery. Anyway, she tries to have the mistress killed. You go, girl. Whatever. When her husband dies, after a long bout of sickness, Richard I, or Richard the Lionheart, becomes king and releases his mother from prison, and she joins Richard in England. However, Richard goes off to fight in another crusade. Richard dies in 1199, and his brother John succeeds him. Now, this might sound a little familiar with Robin Hood, because you guys remember in the Disney version of Robin Hood when Robin Hood's like, you know, getting money for the poor from the rich, and he's taking it from old Prince John, and like everybody's crying for King Richard, and then whenever somebody brings up King John's mom, he's like always sucking on his thumb and crying. Anyway, the mommy that he's always crying for is Eleanor. You see what I'm saying? Ah. And then, you know, King Richard comes back and then makes the whole everything better again. That's where you guys probably remember it from. But her children had great reverence for her. They, to my knowledge, or from what I saw, they loved her. And eventually, she started work as a nun, you know, piety, you know, all that. And she eventually dies at the age of 80 in 1204. And coincidentally, she ends up being buried next to her second husband. Keep in mind, this is the same husband who she tried to get out of the way, put on a t-shirt and put in the dirt. And I just think that's so funny. Anyway, so here's her legacy, you guys. She is the grandmother of Europe. She is an ancestor of Anne of Cleves. Anne of Cleves is the 4th wife of King Henry VIII. Elizabeth Woodville, Isabella of Angoulême, Elizabeth I, and the present Queen Elizabeth II. I think it said that Eleanor of Aquitaine is her 20th or 21st grandmother. Something dumb like that. I don't know. And it is believed that she is related to at least, I don't know how many, what did my notes say? It's likely that she's related to millions of people at this point. So she could be related to you. She could be related to me. But from her children and from these marriages, all of Europe was related to Eleanor of Aquitaine. And everybody is a cousin. So I don't know why people weren't doing more consanguinity. Wow, I'm saying that wrong. Consanguinity at this point. And she's also famous for coining the term chivalry. She used to encourage knights to treat women nice, write them poems, give them gifts. She encouraged courtly love, music, poetry, and men romancing women. So when you talk about chivalry and your man is opening the door for you and giving you flowers and stuff, thank Eleanor. Hello? And I also think that she was doing all that because maybe that's how she wanted, you know, her second husband to treat her like he was treating her bad, always treating her and cheating on her and all kinds of stuff. So maybe that's what she would have wanted. She made everybody else do it, you know. And even though she never ruled the country by herself, she was always like a regent, and she held a lot of power and influence. Coincidentally, her granddaughter, Blanche of Castile, eventually served as a very effective regent herself. She also was a big proponent of protecting the Jews and the poor. Now, protecting the Jews at this time is a really big thing because, honestly, Jewish people are always getting blamed for something in Europe all the time. I wonder if in another part of history, Jews will get blamed for something else. Wow. Let me think. I wonder because, wow, they got blamed for, you know, anything, the weather. They got killed up during the Inquisition. They got killed up during the Black Plague. They were persecuted during World War II, the Holocaust. Like, I think this isn't about Jewish people, but I'm saying that, you know, during that time when people were really blaming Jews for the sun not being out, I think that's a pretty cool thing on her part. But anyway, that's Eleanor of Aquitaine. And sometimes the podcast is over, so now here's my rambling. So anyway, sometimes when I record an episode, I get nervous. Even if nobody's in the house with me, I get so nervous, and I don't know why. And I have, like, rub my hands together, or I, like, shake my foot. And I'm so sorry if you guys hear that. Can you guys hear that? Okay, I'm rubbing my hands together because I'm a little nervous. But yeah, I get really nervous recording an episode. I'm like, do I look stupid? Do I sound stupid? I have a lisp. Is it messed up? Like, oh my gosh. But anyway, that is episode 3. And we are on a roll with the season. I just need to edit this episode. And also, if you haven't done so already, be sure to rate, review, comment, and share. And if you haven't already, follow me on Instagram at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. And we do fun stuff on my Instagram. If you follow me, you're already hip. But from time to time, I'll play games with on my Instagram story. And, like, you have to try and answer all the questions correctly. And, why is my boss texting me? God. Okay. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. Go follow me on Instagram because we have fun. So that's it. I appreciate you guys listening. You're the best. It's the first day of fall, I think. Hold on. The only reason I know that is because Google had like the little cartoon. Let me look right now. Oh, look, sure enough it is. It is the first day of fall. Get your apple cider out, girl. And your pumpkin pie and your sweet potatoes. It's time for sweaters. And I don't wear Uggs anymore because that was 5 years ago. Because it was the 90s. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all for listening. And I will see you next time. Stay safe and wash your hands. Please. And let me hit you with that ASMR.